When you hear that intro, you know it's only one thing. It's a Tech Wrap podcast online at techwrap.net. Also on Twitter. Say g'day. Tech Wrap podcast. Hello, Will.
You had me off.
You were very keen to start talking.
I said, hey, how's it going? And you had my mic off.
Yes,
you
I did.
You bastard.
Hey. I was trying to be professional and stuff.
You think I'm going to start coughing into the mic during your intro? Sip on some water.
You're doing that exactly
is that
right
now. Is that what you
thought
I was going to do? You had to cut me off?
You're doing
Rude.
That right now, sir.
How's it been going? You've had an interesting tech week.
Things are all right. Yeah, there's been a little bit of tech development. I'm a gadget man, you know that. I can't help myself. I was the one person who said at one point in my life, I'm not going to be one of those guys who buys a mobile every year.
Yeah.
I am the guy who buys the mobile every year.
Didn't work out quite well, did it?
No, not at all.
I'm going to blow all my money on new fangled gadgets that come out every 6 months. I'm not that guy.
Every year. But I'm not going to say any more at this point in time because it can be a centerpiece.
Yeah. Something coming up. You might have done something, bit of an impulse buy this week. We'll find out, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, wonder what it is.
So, let's get straight into some stuff then.
Let's do it.
So, in conversations this week, there's been a lot going on about mobile phones. So I think one of the most interesting starts is the Queensland government. They released a bit of a white paper, the Road Safety Strategy and Action Plan, and had 57 initiatives that they hope to run within the next few years, which are going to try and encourage more road safety. One of those, of course, is mobile phones. There's so many people getting around texting while they're driving, and they look down while they're driving. You can see that they're doing it.
Yeah.
It's obvious.
Everywhere.
So, any motorist in the state of Queensland in the next couple of years, like it's actually got to have time to be put into place and enforced, but any motorist who has already been caught committing an offence with a mobile phone in the space of a year, if they get caught again, they'll be hit with double demerits.
Yeah, that's
fair
enough,
in an attempt to stop them from using it behind the wheel.
Is it going to work?
Well, we don't know. You know, there's always going to be a percentage of people out there who won't even worry about the fact that they're going to lose, you know, half their bloody license in one hit.
I don't think they'd worry until they got caught that first time, and then maybe they'd think about it.
It's a possibility, but, you know, look, really, I use my mobile phone behind the wheel, but I don't touch it.
Trent.
I don't touch it. I use the technologies which we're legally allowed to use.
Hands-free.
You use Siri to do your voice activations or Google. What do they call the Google one?
Google Voice.
Google Now. Yeah. Use one of those. It works.
Yeah.
And it means you don't get fined.
You got to have one of those holders, right? You got to have like some sort of holder device in your car.
I've got the window mounted holder.
Yeah, like a mount.
You know why I reckon that's good? Because if the police are going to see you doing something, they can see you doing it.
Is that good? Do we want them to see what we're doing?
Well, I do want them to see that I'm not touching my mobile phone.
Yeah. It's so hard, like, you know, stopped at a traffic light or caught in traffic on the way home, you might be sitting. Is it okay to use if you're just not moving or never okay?
You've got
we're
to be.
We're not talking like legally. We're talking like, you know, maybe, you know,
oh,
it's not so
not
dangerous.
Legally.
You well, stopped, you're waiting, like, you're in a car jam, 20 minute wait. Maybe not that much, but.
Well, yeah.
10, 15 minute car jam. And
I do admit at traffic lights occasionally, I will just lean forward and start
like
touching
my
phone.
You just pulled up to a red and you know you're not going anywhere
for 5 minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
I do touch the seconds. Phone. I can't help myself.
It's impossible now in this day. Like, and it's so ingrained in us to do that. Like, we're driving and we'll get a message on our phones that might be in our pockets.
Mm.
And then it'll just eat away at you Like, I need to know what that is. You might be 2 minutes away from home and you're like, I need to pull this phone. It's like a drug addiction. Mm. You start sweating. You can't think straight. It's dangerous not to pull your phone out and look because you're like panicking at the wheel. Like, what do I need to get back to this person? What do they want? Who could it be? What if it's urgent? Oh my God. I need to look at it. And you just like, you have to do it until you succumb to that urge and you pull it out and you have a look. So it is hard. It is hard.
It's especially challenging.
Like, if that's all you've ever known and your instant communication, you need to get back to that person.
I don't know about the sweating business.
Oh, it's like a drug. It's a drug.
It's not so much a drug like that to me. Like,
I'm addicted. I need to know.
We were down the street and I saw a fellow who owns a museum locally and he was mentioning his trip to Sydney and the fact that he walked into a cafe and there was guys having lunch, tradies having lunch. They all had meals, but they were all looking down at their phone.
That's a good lunch.
Is it?
Yeah. Keeping up to date with news. I think a few of them were listening to the podcast.
But when you're in a group of people,
we have to put a disclaimer that he was from an older generation, I think.
He was from the older generation.
He's used to the old school, you know, no phones at the table sort of thing. Let's communicate and use our words.
But
who does that?
I like doing that when you're around a group of people and you go out for a friendly lunch. Like,
I can't stand people. That's why I'm in my phone all the time. They're too annoying. People are the worst.
Man.
That's what it is now, you know?
Yeah.
That's what everyone does it.
You know, it's a tie into my next topic.
Ooh.
So did you ever hear about the Tablescape service?
Tablescape? Is that a game, Facebook game?
Like no. It was an online service where people could take pickies of their food and share it online.
Okay.
A bit like what people do on Instagram anyway.
Yeah.
I mean,
so is this some sort of official tie-in actually with businesses or restaurants? Or
I
can
don't
you rate and give reviews?
I never saw the finer detail of it, but the service got shut down.
Hmm.
But Google's decided to take a lead from that recently.
Of course.
And in their latest updates for the Google Maps for iOS and Android, they're integrating a feature for local guides. So people who have done reviews of cafes and restaurants and what have you on Google, they're going to allow them to input photos to venues. So you could input a picture of that great meal you're just about to eat online so other people can see by going to Google Maps and finding that location what sort of awesome food that place makes.
Does Yelp do that?
Yelp is more like reviews,
No pictures.
Like, what's the other one? One of those other foodie websites?
Urban Spoon,
yep. TripAdvisor, those sort of websites.
Yeah, you get reviews and you can put community, like user taken photos on them, I guess. But I mean, what if I went to a restaurant, but I wanted to be a bit sneaky and I went to the restaurant next door and then I was like, ooh, this looks good. And I take a picture of the meal and then upload it for the restaurant next door. And then someone will sit and they go, oh, that looks delicious. And then they go to that restaurant. It's not even on the menu.
Well, I suppose that is possible. but you've still got user feedback to circumvent those sort of things.
So do the business owners then can come in and look at that and say, hey, this isn't from our store and get it taken off?
I would say much like other user review processes and venue processes online on listings, they should be able to flag something if they think it is inappropriate.
So when will we start seeing this?
It's rolling out very soon.
Yeah, okay.
It's rolling out very soon. It's kind of neat because
integrated into Google Maps, you said.
I like the idea. Yeah, integrated into Google Maps so you can go and have a look at the venue on the map and then see like little thumbnails, so you can click on them and then look at the pictures.
Yeah, that's handy.
Which you can already do with some things, like local reviewers who have actually just taken pictures of landmarks and stuff.
Hmm.
Certain areas you can go and have a look at them on Google Maps, because I know the submarine town, Holbrook, I know there was a few pictures that people submitted as they passed through and they were pinned to that map, which is pretty awesome. But to do that for food, it's quite amazing because you can be an outsider who doesn't know the area very well and you want to go to tea and you don't know what the food quality is going to be like other than the reviews, the text reviews of people saying, oh, it was amazing. And then you get the odd person who says I had a crap time, you know, it's no good, go away. And you just, you know, look into those pictures and go, that is food that is very Moorish. I'm definitely going to go there.
But just so, because it looks really good doesn't mean it
doesn't mean
really
it
good.
Will be good. Same as hotels online. Sometimes you think you're looking at the most amazing place and you turn up and it's a bit average.
Google. Soon it'll be just Google, Google, Google. Everything will be Google.
Well, it is Google, Google, Google mostly. So
Facebook's up there.
Facebook's getting there. Facebook is getting there indeed. And the other one I had is mobile again. I can't believe I had so many mobile stories of the week.
It's been a big mobile week.
It's about security. It's about Android.
Okay. What now?
That amazing operating system you keep telling me about.
It just keeps getting better and better.
You know, it's so much better than iOS, apparently.
Infinitely.
lock pattern screens.
Yeah, you know, I use one. Things. I have one on my phone. It's a lock pattern unlock.
Now, do you start from the top left corner? Yes.
No.
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 Do you start from a corner?
No.
Ah, no. You're a smart one. You're a smart one.
Do you remember when I first did my lock screen? This is the lock screen test I like to do. Whenever I get a lock screen done, I just I give it to someone. I'm like, you can have a few chances to try and
guess. Oh, yeah, I remember
doing
that.
I gave it to you. I was like, have a try and crack my lock screen. And then you couldn't get it after five. And I'm like, it's pretty safe.
The common person's lock screen.
Like people use letters, numbers. They try and make like L's or something so it's really quick and easy and things like that. Oh, you've got a list of the most common ones. Here we go. Try them on your friends. What are they?
Yes. The Norwegian University of Science and Technology decided to do a study on this. And out of the people that they got in their survey window, 77% of their participants started their lock screen patterns from a corner, which is a common. 44% started from the top left. And what I've got on this page is the letter C, the letter
O.
So
if you have six chances to break into someone's phone,
you can try some of
these combinations first and let us know how you go.
The letter C, the letter O, the letter N.
So this is drawing the letters. Yep. So we start with the N, I guess you start bottom left, up. Diagonal across and then up. Yep.
A letter S, a letter M, and a letter L.
So easily memorable, easy to sort of just with your finger as well.
And easy to break.
Because that's something you think about. Because like if you are unlocking your phone, maybe who knows how many times a day, 10, 20 times a day, maybe more. You want something that you can easily remember and that's easily going to flow nicely with your thumb and not be like being in some awkward thing. So it's really annoying to, you know, move your thumb around.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense, but yeah, not very secure.
Not
what are
secure
the other options? You got fingerprint, right? You got PIN.
Yeah, fingerprint on Samsung's is like a swipe thing, isn't it?
Yeah, you just swipe your finger down on the home button in
which
the middle.
Which is fairly quick. We were having a bit of a debate out in the office area a few days ago. The technology mad has had 20-something mobiles in the last couple of years. Mr. Matt, whom I do a tech chat with, said, you know, he goes, oh, the Android one isn't, like the one for Samsung isn't really that good because you got to like swipe down to do the fingerprint.
Hmm.
But I said, well, you know, it doesn't take long to do that compared to entering a PIN or drawing a pattern, does it?
He was talking to me and he said it's so quick. And I was like, doesn't the fingerprint take ages? And he's like, no, it's so quick. And he just put it in and he quickly did it.
Yeah.
Because I think you have to do it like 10 or 20 times to start. So it gets like every possible direction of your thumb. So no matter where you do it, it'll get your fingerprint. And then even after you scan it, I think it continues to learn and improve upon your fingerprint. So it's even more accurate. So after you've done it like, you know, 100 times, you can pretty much just do your fingernail across it. It'll unlock for you.
You had to do the same sort of thing for iOS when you set it up. It's just to put your thumb on there and hold it, and it detects it. But when you are enrolling, you've got to do several sort of combinations, and you've got to do it like at least three or four times to get it to.
Because you'll never know where you put your thumb on the thing. Because sometimes you might be lazy; it just might be the side of your thumb.
Mm.
Other times you might be bang on center, top, round the corner. So, what do you use to unlock your phone?
My thumb.
So you do use the fingerprint?
Yeah, I do use the fingerprint because it's easy. And I'm on iOS 9, so if you actually use the PIN code, you've got six digits now.
Oh, so it used to be five?
No, it used to be four.
Really? So they've increased four to six?
It was just four. Now it's 6.
Oh, that is secure.
So that will, in the iOS 9 release, which is just around the corner, that will be 6 digits.
People are just going to use their birthdays. 02. Yeah. 03.
Are you sharing your birth date?
9/9.
No.
No, that's not my birthday. But no, it's like, not. I reckon if you have to do 6 digits.
Yeah.
People are just going to do their birthdays. So then if you got a pin, just try and figure out that person's birthday. And try it. Because that's the easiest 6-digit pin you're going to remember, isn't it? Unless they start doing the letter patterns with the code, because it's the same as doing the swipe. You could just go down, 2589 is your L, and you could do the same, C with the pin. So I guess the whole swiping unlock, pattern unlock,
yep,
you could apply those same principles for the keypad locks as well. So that'd be an interesting test to do.
Bring on emoticon passwords.
smiley face, sad face, poo. Party face, poo. Phone unlocked. So do you think the fingerprint is the most secure way to lock your phone then?
It's a lot more secure than pins. Because
you have a pin backup, don't you?
Yes.
So everyone that uses the fingerprint needs to have a pin number anyway.
Yes.
So then you could just ignore the fingerprint scan and try and crack that person's code.
You could have a go at that.
So regardless if you think how secure the fingerprint is, you still need a really good, not guessable code that isn't a letter or your birthday.
Mm.
And which is hard because then you forget and you don't remember what it is and then you're screwed.
But I do.
Is yours your birthday?
No. No,
what is it?
Mine's got nothing to do with birthday, birth month, birth year. It doesn't have anything to do with the street I live on, the number that I have.
Is it some random numbers that you think is secure?
It's got nothing.
It's not significant to you in any way?
It's not connected with my mobile phone number, my home phone number. No, nothing that connects with anything.
Did you just go to a random number generator or something?
No, I just come up with it in my mind.
Yourself,
I just come up with it a few random digits.
What is it? We'll beep it out. Tell me.
No.
Just the first 6.
No.
6, isn't it? 6, 6, 1.
No.
Okay, I give up.
No, it starts with a higher number.
Mm.
There you go. All right. That's all I'm saying.
Eric, that's a fun little thing. Find someone that has a, what is it? What do you call it? The swipe? What do you call it? The pattern unlock.
The pattern unlock. Yeah, pattern unlock. Pattern unlock.
Find a friend that has the pattern unlock and try these most common ones and see if they unlock it. Because you'd be doing them a favor. Better you unlock it than someone,
lose
their phone and someone finds it and then steals all their data and frapes them.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
When you do this so often and you've got smudgy fingers and smudgy
you reckon?
Prints,
no.
Can you actually see a pattern on the phones?
No, I don't think so. Because after you unlock your phone, then you're swiping, it's a touch screen.
Actually,
so
just show me your phone at the moment. It actually looks a bit
smudgy.
There
is smudges, but like the second you unlock it, you're going to be clicking apps, you're going to be typing on your keyboard, and you're going to re-smudge it. There's no way about it.
I can't really see much.
Exactly.
On that.
Unless you find someone's phone, place it, completely clean it off, then the second they unlock it, be like, oh, come check this out. Don't let them touch it. And then
you'd notice it.
Yeah, but then you only have the pattern. You don't know which order or where they started or anything. So
True. Oh, well, that was my tech news week.
It was
more about mobile gadgets this week and not too much of anything else. In 2 weeks' time, it's going to be mobile frenzy as well.
Yes.
But
is this the Apple release, the new Apple iPhone?
Yes.
Day?
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. And I've got a little Siri. I've got a little Siri treat.
The 6S? Oh, here we go.
Tell me about September 9.
Okay, I found this.
Oh, that didn't work.
Did you test this before you did it? Here we go, take 2.
Tell me what event is happening on September 9.
Do you need some thinking?
Checking.
Music. Here we go.
I didn't find any
of
it. Nah. Did it work at all?
I forgot the phrase.
So you have to say a specific phrase to Siri, something vaguely about an Apple event, and then it'll come back with some witty remark.
Give us a hint about September 9.
Third time's the charm. Come on, Siri.
You'll have to wait until the 9th of September. I bet you were one of those kids who snuck downstairs to open presents early, weren't you?
There you go. Third time's lucky.
Now what it's alluding to,
I bet
of course.
Cortana would have got that first go.
Yeah.
I'll Google now.
well, it was the way I said it because you have to say the hint. Because you can ask Siri to look for events in your calendar. or it'll go to search online, and then you needed that specific phrase to make it, and I just forgot the specific phrase. Anyway, what I'm alluding to is September 9 in the US, it's early hours of September 10 here in Australia on a Thursday, is the Apple conference. This one drops the new iPhone. Well, the new iPhone as in looks exactly like the current model, but it's more strengthened and it's got new features and stuff.
It doesn't bend.
Yeah, it doesn't bend, and it's got a better CPU and a better memory and all that sort of stuff in it. So their launch is on September 9. They'll also be releasing, of course, a new iOS 9 that will go into an official stage.
That you've been trialing.
There'll be a software update for the Apple Watch, and they're thinking that some force touch features which are available on the Apple Watch will come to the operating system of the iPhone so that you can do a few more things and in more creative ways and whatnot.
But they always try to be like innovative and new and fresh and some stuff, but this is the first year where I think it's just going to be more of the same. Last year they had the whole thing, we're bringing out the big phones now, yay, but now it's just another big phone. So I'm not that hyped.
No, but every 2 years is the one where they bring the new idea to the iPhone.
So this is the upgrade year.
But when I say new idea, I don't mean where the market leader's at this. You know, some of the features that they bring along are stuff that people have already tried, but they wait to see how they pan out on the other devices, and then they go, well, this would be really good, let's put this in. But of course the Android people always go, you copy the Android idea.
We got that.
We've already got that. We've had that for like 3 years.
Yeah, well, Android has always had way more sort of customizable features that eventually will come to the iPhone, I guess. Maybe you'll have widgets.
And I would just go, something like that. Hey, well, you've already tried it. You've made it work nice. And now we've got this awesome feature on the phone.
Meanwhile, more and more people are switching over to Android every day.
Oh, probably.
The Samsung test drive. Wonder how that's going.
Well,
hand in your iPhone to trial a S6. Night 5 or an S6 Edge.
I'll tell you exactly how that's going at the moment. It's exceeded demand.
Yeah, well,
Samsung has actually stopped it. Within days of it launching.
See, what does that say? Genius.
Because they've already run out of units.
Unless they underestimated how many people would.
They underestimated how many people would be keen to
give it a
go. I
wonder how many people then would actually keep the phone. That will be the interesting
That's what thing. We need to wait for, but we're going to have to wait a month to work that one out.
So there you go. People are keen to get off iPhone.
People are keen on the idea.
Meanwhile, you fastened your seatbelt in the car that is Apple with a new purchase this week. What do you got?
Another guy here at work decided to get himself an Apple Watch.
Oh no.
He said it was a spur of the moment thing.
Yeah.
I tried his Apple Watch and I went, you know, now that there's been some time and not just straight off release, these are getting to be all right.
I quite like it.
I had a you only live once YOLO moment.
Do people say that anymore?
Oh, sometimes.
Well, we do know.
I had a YOLO moment, and I got one.
Apple Watch in the house.
$500 on the credit card. One day later, there you go. It's here.
I'm impressed. If anything else, I'm impressed with the delivery time. And I have to say, it is a very sleek-looking watch. You've gone a nice black band. It's like all sleek and black. And it is a thinner form factor than I originally thought. When I saw it in the pictures and stuff on videos, I thought, oh, it looks square. It looks a bit big and like bulky. Not big, but like a little bit bulky sort of thing. But yeah, having seen it, it does look quite stylish and it does fit really nicely on the wrist. I will give it that. It's a nice-looking device, but what can it do?
So it integrates with the iPhone. It uses Bluetooth communications to access, you know, all the GPS functions and network functions and what have you.
This is a Getty's first impression.
You've got of course your heart rate tracking on the back.
How accurate have you found that? Pretty accurate?
I think it's pretty accurate. By accurate, I would say it would be at least on par with accuracy of you checking your own heart rate with your fingers, putting your fingers on your wrist, finding the pulse and counting that pulse, because basically what it is the two LEDs shining on, well, those two LEDs shining on, and then the other parts detecting, you know, what can be seen in the light, essentially. So
previous to this, you had a Garmin Vivo Smart.
Yes, I did.
Fitness tracker. Do you think this is going to replace that device now and you're just going to wear the Apple Watch?
I hope to replace that device, with this. But of course, these don't have full functions, full tracking functions in them. You've still got to have your phone around. But then you've still got to have your phone around to use network features on these Apple Watches. They will work disconnected to some degree, but most of the things are use internet connected apps, and it doesn't have its own internet connection because it's, you know,
I love that you can
there
take
isn't room for it.
You can take calls on it.
Yeah, you can, yeah, you
talking
can,
to your watch. It's
you
so
can
good.
Take calls on it. You can answer calls. You can make calls. The one thing I've been enjoying so far is using Siri to text message on the actual device itself.
Without even having to pick up your phone.
Don't pick up the phone. Just
hey,
just
this solves the driving in car problem with, you know, somebody messaging you while you're driving and it's in your pocket and you need to know who it is.
But it doesn't.
What?
It doesn't. What? It doesn't because
what
you
is
gotta,
the point?
You got to put your finger on the button to make to record the voice. And you're looking at your phone while you're doing it, while you're holding the steering wheel.
No, when somebody messages you, though, you can see who it is and what the message is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
quick,
that's
a quick
the
glance,
thing
yeah.
that gets me in the sweats. At least we can solve that issue.
Yeah,
But then to reply, you actually have to take your hands off the wheel to touch your watch.
A quick glance at it.
Can't you just voice activate it? Like, you know, like, hey, Google, you don't need it on. You can just be like, okay, Google. Can't you be like, okay, Siri? You actually have to physically push a button.
Siri won't read.
There's not an always listening function.
At the present, Siri won't read text messages out using the speaker on the Apple Watch.
Can you reply to it without pushing a button though?
No, you have to push a button to reply
to
the message.
Interact with the watch. Yeah,
and if you want to activate Siri from this main screen, for instance, you've got to hold that side dial in. And there you go, there's Siri.
I feel like with the Android Wear watches, I think it's like they have an always listening that you can have on. And you can just be like, okay, Google anytime on the screen and it will.
But you know, the people who think about security and privacy and all that sort of stuff would go, but they could be listening to my conversations. They could be listening to me talking about toilet paper, for instance.
Yeah, but they can do that on your phone anyway. And you got an Xbox One.
Yeah.
Always listening. Everything's always listening.
Samsung smart TVs.
I bet these mics are picking up everything we're saying right now and everyone will be able to hear us.
Well, of course they are. We're recording the bloody thing.
I'm privacy conscious and we're being recorded right now. What is this?
And I feel like a poop. No, I don't. I'm just.
You've had it. What? A poop.
A poop.
A poop. So you've had it for 2 days now.
I've had it for two days.
3 days.
I've added oodles of apps so far.
How are you feeling? What are some of your favorite Apple Watch apps that you've put on? What are some essential apps that weren't on there when you got on? You're like, I need this app.
So I don't like using the normal mail application. So I've been loving using client. Outlook.
So you've installed Microsoft Outlook app.
Yep, and that has a glance of things in your calendar and unread messages. You can tap on it, and it'll end up opening up your emails so you can have a look at your email inbox and you can tap further and you can go through and actually read emails on the actual
mail
device
app,
itself.
Anything else?
See that? Look at that.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And swipe across to bring new messages in.
Easy.
Beautiful. Easy done. Easy done.
What else you got?
Easy done. Easy go. The other thing I've been doing is adding tracking apps, fitness tracking apps.
Yes, because to try and replace your fitness tracker?
Yeah, because there's some functionality within the Apple applications, which, you know, they're on the idea, but it's not quite
room
as
for
great.
Improvement.
So most trackers track steps and this one at the moment on the Apple Watch tracks calories.
That's weird because everyone wants to know what their steps are and they can compare steps against other people. You think that would be the number one thing to implement in a fitness health app would be steps done. But no.
They did calories.
Calories, there you go.
And it's not there.
It looks nice, but I'd love a step tracker.
You know the one thing I do like about their
app? Come on, Apple, step up.
You know the one thing I do like about their fitness app at the moment?
It looks sleek.
The fact that it will tell you when you've been sitting for too long in one spot, and it'll say,
Well, you had that on the Garmin as well. It would vibrate and you know, get off your ass.
It'll say, you know, you need to get up off your bum and do some walking around.
How long did you have to be sitting before it does that? Like half an hour?
An hour. Oh, 40 minutes to an hour. Yeah. There's a built-in camera app, so you can actually...
Where's the camera on
You
that?
Can activate the camera on your phone.
Yeah, okay.
And you can see what the camera sees.
So you could set that up in the hallway at Bluetooth range and spy on people via your watch.
Yes.
Who's coming down the corridor.
Yeah.
You can set that outside your office and see who's coming in. You can hide from them. If it's someone you don't like, you can hide under your desk and avoid them.
Timer mode.
Oh, and you can take photos. Yeah, that's cool.
Look at that.
That's handy.
There we go. Photo of me at the microphone.
Beautiful. Put that up on Twitter.
I'll have to put that up on Twitter.
Blur out your face.
I took this with my Apple Watch.
We're privacy conscious.
And
I was reading a statistic that was published somewhere that said the Apple wearables are now second behind only to Fitbit wearables.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I saw a figure which was from the International Data Corporation.
People are loving it.
And estimated that 20% of the wearables market is consumed by Apple Watches.
It's unbelievable.
They believe that 4.4 million units of the watch has been distributed, and it's not even a year as yet.
That can't be right.
Whether it's true or not, we don't know because Apple doesn't actually officially release statistics.
I don't see it. Like,
they're secretive.
I only know two people in Albury that have one, and that's you and the other guy at work. And I know no one else that could afford it.
Well,
it's so expensive compared to, you know, fitness wearables. You're looking at like $80 to maybe $150 max for a Fitbit Charge HR or something.
200 tops.
Oh, yeah. Tops. Yeah. But normally you can get them for about $150 when they're on special and things like that in the wearable market for fitness trackers, watches, you know, all your basic sort of functions. And even on the Garmin Vero Smart, you could push your text messages to the screen. You could read emails. So essentially basic, you know, things that notifications that would be handy to have on your wrist, you can get for about $120. And here we are, Apple Watch, because of, you know, the nature of being Apple and, you know, upper market type thing, around $500 for like a watch is crazy. I thought $300 for the Moto 360 was insane. Here we are, $500, almost as much as a high-end smartphone, and you're wearing it on your wrist.
You know what I've loved?
You're insane.
You know what I've loved too?
Music. I don't think I could do that.
Music listening features. So remote controls. So doing the typical iTunes.
You could do that on your Garmin though as well. You could have those volume control thing as well.
Yeah,
that was $100.
iTunes remote control. Then there was remote control for the music on your actual mobile phone. And then the one for the tune-in application allows you to pick one of your favourites that you've already been listening to. So this is streaming radio. I can pick a station that I've been listening to in the past, press that, and then all I have to do is open up my phone and then open up the TuneIn app, and it automatically finds which station I had planned to be listening to.
Yeah.
And it's streaming.
24/7 Spice Girls and Justin Bieber, is that...
That's actually called Madison. That's Madison, Don't You Worry. But we weren't allowed to play too much of that because you're not allowed to play music, copyrighted music in podcasts.
I won't tell anyone.
You know, cool watch face, cool applications. There's still more applications for me to fiddle around with. I mean, I've picked up oodles of apps. And some of them are, you know, they've only just worked out the start of their development cycle. Like, they're only fairly simple applications. Like
early days.
I can actually
wearables
open
wearables in general and smartwatches are still in early days.
So I can open this ANZ one and it'll tell me the balance on my credit card on my watch. Except I need to enter my PIN to be able to do that. I don't care that you can see the balance.
Can you do any payments or anything with it? Can you transfer money? Will Apple Pay be? Can you pay from your watch or does it not have that built into it?
See, look at that. There's my balance.
There you go.
I owe a little bit on the credit card. And what was one more application that I've found of advantage? I suppose you could say the StoCard application as well. I'm very keen to try this one because, you know, I'm with the Apple iPhone, I have some hit and miss with scanners being able to pick it up.
So you can store all your cards, like your flybys or your everyday rewards or any vouchers or things like that. You can put them on there and then you can... You don't need all those cards bulking up your wallet. Just have it on your wrist and then bring it up, scan it. Have you tried it out much? Does it work?
I'm going to try it.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. Because sometimes the scanners don't read the smartphones.
Yeah, and that's what I've found, especially in Woolworths. based places. Their scanners are behind the times when it comes to recognition of digital equipment, and they don't always work. Mm. Whereas Coles self-service checkouts, they've actually got the specific scanners for digital screens, and they work every time.
It's handy. Oh, you have to let us know how it goes. So would you recommend this to someone?
It's early days for me.
So you might even be on a trial basis of this watch.
I may be on a trial basis, but at the moment, people have asked me the question, are you already feeling buyer's regret? And I said, no. Like, there's still things, like, I don't know exactly where I am at the moment. I'm not regretting my purchase, but I think there's still, I still need time to, and that was an email, by the way.
Did it go to your watch?
I forgot to turn
it. Did it go to your watch?
I didn't feel it on my watch.
Oh, no.
On this occasion.
Oh,
but,
no.
But all the others today have come through there. I think it was because I didn't have my PIN entered, because I took while we were talking about this, I took it off my wrist so I could show Will to a degree.
Mm.
And so when you do, Will,
and
when you take it off your wrist, it senses that you've pulled it off.
And then you have to re-enter your PIN.
And
when
it
you
locks
put it, back
it
on.
Yeah.
That's handy. So someone tries to steal your watch and rip it off your hands and run off with it, it's not unlocked and all your details are safe.
They've got to get the PIN.
That's handy. I wouldn't, that's a feature I wouldn't have thought of.
And while I was doing that, on several occasions I had to re-enter my PIN because it kept timing out. I've got screen timeout on.
See how we go. We'll see if you still have it in a week.
No buyer's regret.
Maybe some new software updates will come out
after the announcement. They will. The only regret I've got at the moment is the fact that you need to be careful with it. And Trent can't have nice things sometimes. Coming up the stairwell to work today, I managed to slide my arm against the stairwell somehow. And I've got a little scratch on it.
A brand new Apple Watch, not even 2 days old, and he's already got his first scratch.
Space grey, so it stands out now.
It gives it character. It's yours now. It's officially yours.
It makes me feel sad.
The first one is always the hardest. First scratch or dint on any brand new device is always the hardest. But once you get that first one, you kind of get over it and you stop treating it like a baby.
I hate scratching stuff.
It won't be the last, I'm telling you right now.
Shed a tear. I hate scratching stuff.
Well, swapping over from Apple now, let's go over to the new Samsung devices. People just can't wait. They just can't wait to jump on a scandal, anything that might be sort of controversial, and then jump on the bandwagon and then blow it out of proportion. They just can't help it with the Apple 6.
There's a gate in this, isn't there?
Yeah, with Apple 6 it was Bendgate, and now we have the brand new Samsung Note 5s. And what some people have done, don't ask me who, monkeys. Maybe they gave their Note 5 to a monkey and they pulled out the S Pen. The new developments of the S Pen is now they have a clickable bottom. And they run flush with the thing and you click it like the top of a pen and it pops out.
Pengate.
Someone, some genius, has put their pen back into their phone backwards. So clicky thing first, up in there, even after the phone gives you a warning, beeping, vibrating, telling you, hey, you're putting in the pen the wrong way. Stop it, you idiot. They've forced it all the way up there and the pen has got stuck in their Note 5 and they've been unable to pull it out. Now,
and they've damaged it as well.
In order to get it out, you have to really force it out, pull it out, grab some pliers or some sort of surgical procedure that requires forcing. They pull it out, the clicky thing breaks on the pen, and inside the device has been known to break as well.
There's a sensor or something in there.
All your S Pen sensors break and that no longer detects your S Pen is in there. You lose all those features where when you automatically pull it out, you can start writing on it, the pop-up menu, everything related to your S Pen is broken. Pen gate or Samsung gate or pen gate, whatever you want to call it. And I've been reading this everywhere. People have been going, people putting it, like, come on, ridiculous. Who does that? Well, I've owned a Note since the Note 2 and not once have I even come close to putting my pen in backwards.
Would you not agree this is much like Ben Gate in the sense of...
No, but I think Ben Gate happened naturally.
But would you understand the fact that if you have a phone as big as mine, which is the 6 Plus... I wouldn't be comfortable sitting on this phone with it in my back pocket, would I? Because it takes up a lot of room.
No, you wouldn't.
So if it bends, it's been my own fault that I did it right. So that's why...
Samsung has come out and said, hey, we give you enough warnings and stuff. And even in the manual, right, which no one ever reads, actually a warning in the manual telling you be careful not to put your S Pen in backwards. So maybe Samsung are like, hey, it's in the manual, we warn you, whatever, you're on your own. I don't know whether they might honour returns warranties, because it's probably going to be such a small portion of people doing this. But now maybe after it's been blown out of proportion, more people will do it just to try and get a new phone or something. I don't know. But like, ridiculous. Pengate.
Maybe they should have actually put an actual warning on the phone itself with a sticker or something.
Yeah, no, but then it's bulky and loses how nice it looks and things like that. But that's incredible, isn't it? Who does that?
Yeah.
S Pen Gate.
It's ridiculous.
Another thing I saw was, here's some Uber news, which we can't seem to go 2 weeks without saying something about Uber. But it's not really about Uber. It's more about New York City taxis.
Yeah.
They have now come out with an app to compete with Ubers, which we kind of, we talked about this. We're like, oh, you know, the taxi industry will probably eventually step up and they'll release their own app to try and compete, because it's the only way you can sort of do it. Like, you got to adapt. You can't just keep holding back Uber, because that'll never work. They have billions of dollars and an established market and people embracing it, and it's the future and it's the direction people want to go. So the only thing, you know, if you can't beat them, join them.
Yeah,
so this is what they're trying to do here in New York at the moment. They've released an app called Arrow, A-R-R-O. No W.
A row.
Yeah. So it basically works exactly like the Uber app, where you can call taxis from your app. You can pay like with your phone and things like that.
Yep.
Why do we want to use that instead of Uber? Well, normally there's
Why do we?
Yeah. They say you can hail a cab now without a $2 fee, which is charged by the Uber T service. So like,
not
going to charge you any fee to hail the cab. They've also scrapped any surge pricing, which can sometimes double taxi fares during peak hours. So if you use
which is what
app,
Uber does too,
you can avoid those surcharges. So another reason to use the app. I think it's a step in the right direction. Obviously, it's not fully fledged out as Uber. They only have about 7,000 taxis. It's in New York only. You compare that to Uber, they have more than 20,000 cars at their disposal in the city. Taxis only have about 7,000. But, you know, of course, they're going to evolve the app. They're going to try and expand out into other cities. And I think the taxi industry in general is going to move more towards a very similar service to Uber.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, they're just going to crumble and fall apart, and Uber's going to dominate the world. You've got to adapt. You've got to go with the flow. So it's good to see that finally that they're moving forward, and hopefully we'll see this, you know, other taxi companies around the world follow suit and come up with apps and, you know, incentives to use the taxi app compared with the Uber one, and consumers hopefully will win with cheaper fares, faster taxis to the location, get where you need to go quicker and for less money. So I think that's really cool.
Well, this is a good way to look at it, unlike Australia, where they go, there's competition, they're taking a good market share. Let's sue them instead.
Let's sue them and try and run them out of the company.
Let's try and run them out of the country.
Oh, company,
let's restrict their licensing. Let's not allow them into the country, so to speak, in the way that we're currently situated. That's the way to fix it. And it's not. It's just causing negativity towards the taxi industry. The taxi industry may have actually had some credibility before they started bagging Uber. It's one of those, if you can't beat them, join them moments.
Yeah.
Obviously, your model that you've used over the last 50 years, there's something wrong with it now.
Outdated.
It's outdated. You need to look at the guys who are making money from technology, find some bits that you can borrow and put it into your ideas, and then you could be onto quite a winner.
And they're already there because they already have the service in place. They already have all the cars, all the taxi drivers ready to roll. And Uber came from nothing.
And they've got digital systems in place as well.
They got half the foundation there. They just need to jump on board with the tech side of things, make it easier, quicker, faster for people to get access to their taxis. And all that the suing sort of thing does and getting tied up in the legal system is just delay the inevitable. Like, all it does is prolong the process. They're never going to keep Uber out of the country. They're just going to hold them off for a little while.
And
that's
also,
it. They'll be back.
And also, it just causes negativity towards that organisation. People go,
it makes you want to go, I'm just going to use Uber now.
Why do I want to use taxi service? Because all those guys are doing is just getting annoyed at these other blokes. So I'll just use those blokes.
Crazy.
Time for some tech headlines, I think.
Yeah.
How does the intro go? You like doing the intro.
We'll work on this.
Okay.
But these are the technology headlines of the week. These are the tech headlines of the week. Geddes, give me some quick headlines.
Quick headlines. Quick headlines.
Yeah, little bite-sized pieces of information that maybe, you know, it doesn't have a huge story behind it, but the story's in the headline. Nice little grab for you. And if you want to look into it further, just Google the quick headline and have fun. Here we go. Give us a quick
headline. We'll talk Google first. Of course, we've talked about Google Plus slowly being disbanded. One of the first breakups has been the Google Hangouts, which has officially been separated from the Google Plus service. It's been launched as a separate website, hangouts.google.com, and there's some overhauled apps for iOS and Android, which take on some new styling and everything as well.
Well, there you go. I'll have to check that one out. Check out the website. I'm a big Hangouts user.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
I didn't even know.
Here's one. Russia briefly bans Wikipedia because it couldn't censor the pages. How about that? We can't edit the information, so we're going to ban it.
You know what? I thought this story would have come out of China because China likes to do that at the moment.
Yeah, of course. There you go. Russia's turn. It was only briefly.
So the former CEO of Apple, in the time where Steve Jobs got the arse, you'd recall him. He was a PepsiCo executive. I can't remember his name right now.
John Scully,
I think that might be the name. He's in the smartphone market now. He's just about launching in October the Obi World Phone, which is going to be a pretty slick looking unit, but
maybe something a bit different.
A very competitive price tag, $200 or less.
That's half the price of your Apple Watch.
Yes,
and you get a fully fledged smartphone. It's genius, and there's a huge market for those really cheap smartphones.
It's cheaper than this. Most definitely in developing countries.
Mm. In China, they have that what is it, Zimo or something? I can't remember the name of it, but like they're really cheap smartphones, and they are selling like hotcakes. Hotcakes,
because people can't afford to buy these big Apple gadgets, and they want a phone that's got all the bells and whistles, but doesn't have that big price tag. And there you go. That's the market.
There you go. Here we go. Facebook hits a new milestone this week with 1 billion people using it in a day. They've never reached that landmark before, and this week they hit it. 1 billion people in a day.
1 billion people in a day.
Facebook. Logged onto Facebook in some form. That's the app, the website, whatever.
That is mad. And Ashley Madison continues to be a rolling conversation. All the different situations people have been in, like, you know, big celebrities being busted for being on the websites. some information that has been trawled of late by one of the media sources says the women on the Ashley Madison website, in some cases, were mostly fake.
Yes, and I think they were calling them angels. These people that set up the fake profiles.
They were created to look good, to look attractive, to look enticing, and all these guys flock to it, and they're getting nothing out of it
much.
They're
talking with bots and robots and fake profiles and things like that. It's fascinating.
And this comes out well after all these guys have been busted and got into awkward conversations and situations with their family members.
Yeah, it'll blow over. Here's another Facebook one. Facebook is launching a new personal assistant app, which is going to be integrated into the Messenger app. So like Siri, like Google Now. It's currently being tested in San Francisco with a few people, and it's eventually going to roll out. But so in your Facebook chat conversations, you might be talking about going out to dinner.
Yep.
Like, where do you want to go for dinner? And then it'll bring up some dinner, you know, locations in the area. So integrated personal assistant into Facebook. Because why not? Google and Apple are doing it. Facebook's got to get on board.
They're going to get on board with
it, and they're calling it M.
I just don't see the need for it.
M.
Oh, that's too what bad. M was all about.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
They're working on it.
Well, I've got no choice. They're working on it.
Here's... Oh, and another personal assistant app, you can now get Cortana, which is the Windows personal assistant. And on the desktop, Windows 10 general personal assistant.
Yeah.
You can now trial the beta version of that on your Android phone. If Google Now wasn't enough for you, you can get Cortana beta on Android. And I think you can get it on Apple.
And in cases in Australia, being able to try Cortana on the phone might be the first glimpse of it, because Cortana actually isn't enabled for English Australia language here at the moment on Windows 10.
There you go.
I can't even try it yet.
Beta only.
You know, one of the things I do really want to try out of Windows 10 still, but I have to wait for developing hardware, is the fact that the Windows 10 can visually recognize who you are and authenticate you by seeing you, which sounds fantastic. One more quick headline for me, and this one is about Telstra and telecommunications. They're actually rumoured to be keen to start investments with a Filipino telecommunications provider, Sam Miguel, in the form of a bit of a joint venture with the company. Now, they believe this is going to happen because Sam Miguel doesn't have a very big network, and they need a bit of a hand to develop all that. Mm. And a joint venture with Telstra is just perfect because look at where we are in terms of developing telecommunications and all the money that they have to invest in development. I noticed in the last 6 months they've opened a location at their Melbourne office where they've got people working on projects to innovate in the telecommunications scene. So, you know, a country that just doesn't have the infrastructure, combining with someone who is rolling it out pretty well.
Big things.
Perfect idea. They've got the money. They've got the ideas. They just come in and get it all happening.
Here's the last one from me. Police in North Dakota can now weaponize drones.
Weaponize.
Tasers. Rubber bullets, tear gas, they can strap them onto the side of a drone, fly it about the place, maybe control some crowds, whatever, shoot people in the bum with some pellets. This is interesting because the bill that allowed this was originally implemented and was brought in to ban all weapons on law enforcement drones. The bill was later then lobbied and then amended to allow the use of non-lethal weapons on drones, thus the tear gas, tasers and rubber bullets. But come on, in the future, we probably will see some reason to have a weapon on a drone, maybe in 10 years or something, 5, 10 years.
Terrible,
it's
isn't
crazy.
It?
Crazy. So there you go. It begins.
It does begin.
Well, that's it.
That's it for Tech Wrap.
Yeah.
You can head along to our website, techwrap.net. It's the website. Podcast is Tech Wrap Podcast. And I've just got this playing because you said rubber bullets, you said bullets.
Yeah.
Rubber bullets. Terrible. All right. Have a good one. We'll catch you around.
See you next week.